Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness and starting to understand ourselves as spiritual, energetic beings. And that is why I have my guest here tonight, Nayee Mourez. She is a student and a practitioner of Magical Passes, the Castaneda work, which for me, Carlos Castaneda was one of the principal figures that helped me understand that there was more to reality than just this physical world. And I read all his books, and for me, they were true. They were a truth, and they are real, and the work is real, and the work is about shifting consciousness. So thank you, Nayee, for being here.
Thank you, Alan, for having me. Really happy to be here.
We'll get into the magical passes, but there is a lot of controversy about Castaneda, and I'm just curious, because he is one person I always wanted to meet. And so what was he like?
What was he like? He wrote about, because people ask him about Don Juan, what was Don Juan like? And ultimately, he said Don Juan was a collection of stories of awareness. So what was he like?
Does that mean Don Juan wasn't real?
Oh, not at all.
Don Juan was.
Just that we gather these stories in our lifetime, so we become this accumulation of awareness. And I'll tell you two ways. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Because laughter followed him everywhere. Anytime any of us would, you know, me and other students of his, you could tell when somebody was talking to him because there'd be a lot of belly laughs. So he was filled with joy. Uh-huh. And for me, it's present tense because I feel like he's still present in spirit with us, guiding us what we do. He's somebody that really lived fully what he taught and what he practiced. So he's fully in the moment. So anything that he did in the time that I was working with him, it's still resonating now.
Right, because that's what a real teacher does for you.
It's absolutely the case.
But it was full of laughter because nothing is serious?
Not that nothing is serious. It's just that really, if you are connected, we'll talk about with your essence, which in this tradition is called the energy body.
Right.
There's a joy about it. So we can find joy everywhere. And if what we don't want to be so serious about, which he really conveyed, is our self, our person.
Right.
You know?
Our dramas.
Our dramas, our judgments.
Yeah.
Our sense of being a victim. It's somebody did it to me. So it's a great, reminder that our journey is all about perception. So how do I tell the story?
Right.
How do I tell the story of my experience? And that's where we go back to Don Juan's A Collection of Stories. He's telling the story of the energetic facts of what happened, mm-hmm. the perception of energy linked with the physical world. Mm-hmm. So if we get into he said this and she said this and this person was nice to me and this person wasn't, which we can every day if we don't make a decision to go somewhere else.
The somewhere else is the energy, you're saying?
The somewhere else is the energy. The somewhere is, you know, literally Florinda Donner Grau, one of Carlos's colleagues, would talk about, you can just say lift up, because our energy will literally, you can see it, you'll have cords that will go down. And we're bottom feeding in terms of, or do we want to come up and really look at the gratitude and the miracle of everything that's happening?
Right.
So for me, that can serve as a reminder when you hear somebody that's maybe you feel like missing the point. For me, it's like, okay, where am I missing the point right now? If that's in my energy field, it's a good, it's a reminder.
You mean people who complain all the time, who worry, who, you know, you could, yes, you see their energy bodies just.
Well, Carlos would say in the luminous field, the energy body is a separate sphere, and then we've got a luminous electromagnetic field
around the physical
that
body.
That surrounds and goes through the physical body, and he would see cords. You have cords that should be up here, and you can see the cords, and you can feel it. You know, if you're kind of sagging.
Yeah.
And then your body will go with that, and your breath. So the breath will stop, and this will go, or do I want to inhabit this magnificent, intelligent form, breathe, and then I'm going to appreciate even if somebody's doing something I don't like, what is it teaching me?
I like that, because just as you said that, I feel like, you know, that's the truth about magical passes. Mm-hmm. The integrity work is about lifting the field, right?
Lifting the field, enlivening the field. Is your field, you know, bushy and bright, or is your field, and you can see it, it's what we embody, and that's what's so, for me, so that's why Carlos brought out these movements called magical passes, because mm-hmm. at a given moment you would see, he would give lectures about right. his books and things like that, talk, but Carol Teagues came along and said, you know what, we need to bring out the movements, because we need to really see, you know, what are we embodying, what we do in this physical form, then there's an energetic aspect that mm-hmm. happens with it. Is there flow, or are we stuck? In a physical sense, is the lymphatic system that right. cleans our blood, is it flow? In our, if it is, our energy flows. If it's stuck, you know what? Our energy's stuck and our perception's stuck, and we'll keep repeating, if John would just stop doing this, I would uh-huh. be fine. You know, you see little kids. Right. Well, my sister, my brother, mm. you know? Huh. Or can we mature and see, oh, you know what? We're dreamers. We affect our experience, and it starts just with how am I sitting, how am I breathing right now.
Well, when I met Florinda and Carol and Tasha at the mm-hmm. workshop I did, they opened their lecture saying, I am dreaming this workshop.
Yes.
And so we're dreaming this.
We are.
And we could choose however way we want to be in this dream.
Yes.
We may not be able to affect the what we think is the dream, but we could choose how we feel about the dream. And that will change the dream.
You nailed it for me wow. because you said how we feel about the
it's
dream.
It's feeling.
You didn't even just say how we think about it. You said how we feel
no,
about it.
No, thinking doesn't mean anything.
Well, feeling is feeling. Everything. And Don Juan would talk about the world as a feeling.
Mm.
And you know, he talks about seeing energy or perceiving energy, but you'd use the term, the visual term, seeing, and he'd say that's because our culture is so oriented toward the visual, but we feel energy. We feel... If I'm really tuned in, mm-hmm. I'm conscious of what I'm, do I have a sense of my feet, mm-hmm. am I breathing, then I can sense how, I can mm-hmm. close my eyes, first I'll sense how do I feel, mm-hmm. what's going on here, what's in my field, then I can be much more present, what's in your field, what's in the room, and we know, there's a part of us that knows,
yeah,
that perceives, that tunes in directly. And so it's about getting certain things out of the way and refining that. So the magical passes as movements and positions of body and breath that right. help us gather enough energy to have an option. Is it going to be complaint or is it going to be appreciation in this right. moment?
You know, I just saw Marina Abramovich. You know who she is? She's a performance yeah. artist. And yeah. she would just stare at people. The artist is present. She'd just stare and feel them. But she also did another piece where yeah. she had people come into a museum and put on headphones.
Yes.
And just walk around the space. They were the art piece themselves with headphones, feeling themselves.
How beautiful.
The headphones were silent, so they couldn't hear anything outside of themselves.
Wow.
Except themselves. So... And she talked about art of the future being about consciousness.
Oh, I'm so interested.
You yeah. should look her up. And yeah. this other thing that came to mind is
that's
when I was...
so connected with this. Yeah.
yeah. I was talking to Ken Wilber. You know Ken Wilber, the big spiritual yeah. philosopher. He says yeah. thinking is at the top of the list. And I said to him, don't you have to feel before you think? And he said to me, you may be right, but I can't think about it now. He said that. And the other thing that came up about what you said, the thing about thinking is what Castaneda gets into the later books is actually we're not doing that. We're being possessed by the flyers or the energy that we think is us that's thinking, and we're not the thinker. We are the feelers, but we've been convinced to think we're thinkers.
Well,
I do.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's really easy to make comments. For example, sometimes we think we're thinking and we're pointing out. We could go on forever. You know, I mm-hmm. think that this person is my problem, or mm-hmm. I think that everybody should listen to me.
Right, right.
But what's going on? What is this person doing? What am I doing?
Right. You know what Eckhart Tolle says? You start thinking, oh, that person, she looks like my sister, and then my sister had a dog, and my
there
dog, what happened to that dog?
That's it.
And he says you're like miles down the road with your dog, totally
and you're
disconnected.
Gone, and
yes.
You're not here, and you're not feeling. And Don Juan would talk about, we have these chains of association.
Right.
Napkin, tablecloth, fork, punch bowl, fiesta, you know?
Right.
And we're
totally
not really present.
Right.
We're not perceiving. Where's the sensory input on that?
And where's the feeling?
Where's the feeling?
So you're saying Don Juan, the magical passes, is all about feeling?
That is one way to describe it, and I think it's really accurate. It's about reawakening that direct connection with this incredible, intelligent perceiver. And, you know, Don Juan talks about, and Carlos Castaneda, and you can feel it when you're really connected. You can feel your heart, right? You can feel at the core. And they would say this thing called the assemblage point, where it's a feature on our energetic field. When it comes to the core, which usually we have to allow it, we can make the effort, but we also have to, you know, you hear about get out of your own way, examine what are my judgments that are in my way. Who do I think I am? What roles do I think I'm supposed to play? Mm-hmm. Who do I think that person is? Oh, high status, low status. Go in the room. Who's in charge? You know, instead of really feeling or perceiving.
I saw a great cartoon in the New Yorker magazine. You ever read New Yorker magazine? This guy is at a bar, and he's sort of drunk, and he's yelling at the bartender saying, you have no idea who I think I am.
That's really great. I want that on my wall.
I'll send that to you.
I'm serious. It's really,
But what about this idea that the thinking part of us is an artificial implant that has overshadowed the feeling part? Castaneda talks about.
There's different ways to look at that. Yeah. And I definitely, one of the things that becomes clear with my training, that the teacher would speak to the student where they were at the time or what they needed to hear. And Carlos was coming with a generation, and he's a male, and there was a lot of fear associated with going into the unknown and dealing with we talk about the inorganics and dreaming. And the culture, and you'll still see it, if anybody's going to talk about supernatural stuff, on television, not to name any specific things, but a lot of times we want it to be creepy, or it's got to be associated with crime, or it's got to be, death and stuff like that. Well, the culture is catching up to where the awareness of human beings, there are human beings who have really recognized incredible perceptual, vistas, and then the culture is catching up. So Don Juan would describe to Carlos, there's these entities that are going to
attack you.
Eat your awareness
and
take over
his fear, though.
Exactly. And at the same time, energetically, we do look like something has munched us if we're busy focusing on the lowest common denominator.
Oh, so you're saying this example that he's saying was just a kind of, it wasn't so much real as it was
I'm not necessarily saying that, but it's where do you focus? Where do you put your focus?
Okay.
And so that was one way for him to show Carlos energetically, wake up. When we go down into this low space, energetically, there's these, it's
these
creepy.
Demons,
so let's come up, let's wake up and just be present. And the thing that helps us wake up, Don Juan would say, is discipline. And he'd say, I don't mean a cold shower at 5 every morning. And what I mean is appreciation, the art of feeling awe. Appreciating.
Is that the biggest
what is
teaching?
In your experience? I would say that's a very big part of it. I am responsible, like you said, for my experience of this, and if I have a sense of awe, I mean, it's a miracle that we're here talking. It's a miracle that we're in an upright, that we can be upright. It's a miracle that we can have chairs and still be conscious. I'm kidding, but
No, but that's Einstein's thing. Either everything is a miracle or nothing is. Right.
And look at Einstein.
Yeah.
He's got that feeling of awe. And because he's open, he can be Einstein and discover. And be an explorer.
Does the magical passes just get us back to awe? Does it just...
That is one thing. And of course, it's what do you intend to do with it? And you can set your intention. But that is part of the intent that these movements are imbued with, because they come from ancient times and their mm-hmm. origin, and then they adapt.
Their movements. Would you want to talk about the luminous energetic body and what the movements do to all that?
Yeah, the movements, and one way to do it is to just show a little bit of movement.
We could
something that we can do
as
we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You know what we're going to do? We'll do, first we're going to check your stance, because this is a stance also, even though we're not standing.
Okay.
You can do it with me if you want. And how am I sitting? What am I holding mm-hmm. here? Do I have a connection with my sitting bones? Do I have a connection with my breath? Do I have my feet connected to the earth? Because the earth is feeding, even though we're on maybe the second floor, there's still energy coming from the earth. Do I connected with the sky, the stars? And then from there, we can do something from the recapitulation magical passes, where I'm going to come out and I'm tapping at the shoulders, and then at the chest and the waist. This is helping forge my connection with the energy body, and therefore the energy body, which is a separate sphere, totally out of energy.
And
let's just feel it for a second.
Uh-huh.
So there's one pass.
What did we just do, though?
We're focusing our energy. There's links with the energy body everywhere on our body.
The energy body is the cords of energy that come off of us? Is that the energy?
The energy body is a separate body. Like, you have your electromagnetic sphere.
I have my physical body.
You have your physical body. You have a sphere that surrounds it. And then there's a separate little, smaller, more compact.
That's attached to us at the back.
That's attached to us through the assemblage point. So you could say the back.
Or
in a way, these are, because it's ultra-dimensional.
Right.
So... But it attaches to us really at the heart. When you see all these traditions that talk about the heart as the gateway to everything.
So it's an energy body that's small, that attaches, that's part of us. That is us, maybe. It is us.
But it's the part of you that travels in dreams, when you daydream, when you suddenly feel like you feel that the chills coming. Someone's talking about, that's your energy body telling you, pay attention.
And so these movements do what to that energy body?
Well, this is forging the energy body on this one.
What does it mean, forging?
Giving it a shape.
Oh.
So it's setting the intention. Energy body for me, it won't be random. It'll be something that I'm deliberately connecting with.
Okay.
And so it helps you focus. And then some of it is the linear mind won't understand. If you want to we can over-explain. And it will...
But you'll feel it.
You'll feel it. So let's do a...
Do
a breath.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that again.
Okay.
We'll do this. And we'll do one more. And you can pause and just notice. Do you feel more focused?
I feel a little different.
You do?
I do.
Okay, and then this is forging the core. So that's where the energy body connects at the heart.
And this is just...
So you're opening a space for it to land.
Here.
Yeah, and you will see statues in Mexico. There's a little box, and there's a little man inside there.
Oh.
So that's like...
The little man is the energy body.
You could say that's the energy body. Uh-huh. It's not necessarily always little, let's do a breath.
Okay, let's do a breath.
And you keep exhaling, because most of us... have more air to exhale than we realize. This is called the wings of recapitulation. Now we're going to inhale really big. And then exhale. Keep exhaling. And you pause. So that's the wings of recapitulation.
What did that do to my energy body?
One thing it did was got you breathing, and it got you connecting with the fact that you're a whole sphere. And that sphere has what's behind you as well as what's in front of you.
Mm. So you're acknowledging the energy body so it can become, in a sense, more alive and more part of us.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
And then the idea of recapitulation, did we do anything for recapitulation?
Recapitulation is what it's all about, really, on one level. It's
define it.
Recapitulation, you could call it self-review.
Life review.
It's very specific, and there's different ways to do it. And one of the ways that we're doing it right now is called Theater of Infinity. It's one of the ways that came into the lineage. Yeah. We'll get to that. So recapitulation is becoming aware of assumptions, but especially patterns that we do.
But isn't it also what I've done it, because I've done it as it's been described in Castaneda's book.
Yes.
Also in the Sergio Magaña Toltec tradition. You know him, Sergio
Magaña? I got to know about him through when Rennie talked to you.
His interviews are great. He does an Abyssinian black mirror practice where all your stuff comes up as you see it in the mirror.
Wonderful.
And then you get to recapitulate it.
Beautiful.
So what I've understood about recapitulation, you go back to those key points or major points in your life. And of course, you can do it about everything in your life, everybody. But if you go to the key points, you start to breathe the energy in that you left.
Absolutely.
And you breathe the energy out that was left in you from those things.
And so you can do what we just did, that's a breath that helps you clear that. Like if you've just reviewed a scene or you're about to review a scene from your life, then you can frame it with these passes. For example, these energy passes, magical passes.
Have you done the complete recapitulation of your life?
It's never done.
But have you done like 12 months of like constant recapitulation or 18 months?
I didn't work that way.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? It's most of us don't have that kind of time. So there was an era described in Castaneda's books, and Taisha had that time. For me, the way my training was, we do it through participation, putting on a tensegrity workshop. There will be a lot of situations that come up working with your colleague, Rennie and I, collaborating on things. It will bring up where are my patterns? And then I will recapitulate 5 minutes ago. Okay, how did I respond to that situation, how might I respond better? I will sweep back, I'll breathe back any judgments that I might have left on somebody. And sometimes just the act of setting the intent to breathe back judgments makes you realize you had judgments.
Right.
Because we think we have truth. We think that this person did something wrong.
So we'll recapitulate this
interview
do it.
Well, in a sense. And then you exhale if you took anything on. Like she said I was, fat or stupid or whatever, or he said that I was.
So you're always you should
exhale it. You don't need to have that
sticking on you. Every second we could recapitulate ourselves.
Well, and the recapitulation in that sense, if I shift my position, like, I'm a little more present, that's part of recapitulation. I'm about to say something that something in me tells me there's a feeling that's not going to go over well, it's not going to be productive. And you maybe reviewed before, you take a pause, and you know what? Don't say it. Listen. That's recapitulation.
Right. Also. So it's noticing your patterns of behavior.
And making choices in the present moment.
So to not do that, you mean?
Yeah, but that will take you back through the past.
To
and
your
there
history.
Will be. Yeah, it'll take you back through. If I, for example, get in the body position of yesterday when I was at the store and the salesperson wanted to tell me to buy the product that had a sulfate in it. You know, and I'm so enlightened.
That idiot.
We don't want sulfates. And I'm going to judge. Then I'm going to pause. What am I doing with my body? My solar plexus got tight there. My breath stopped. My feet weren't even connected to the earth. What earth? What are we talking about? And you know what? It was all about protecting the earth, but I'm not connected. And I'm judging somebody. So what kind of environmental wizard am I in that moment?
Right.
But let's not get too heavy. Let's just correct it now. So I would inhale back.
Well, do the recapitulation breath. Do you mind?
Okay, not at all.
Because I
want
to really
think of that moment with her. But there's this will do it too.
Okay.
But I can also pause. Okay, and I'm pulling back energetic cords. But that happens. I don't have to usher.
You're breathing in.
I'm breathing in what I left behind there that wasn't really helpful.
In that person or in the situation.
And then I'm exhaling. She probably maybe thought that righteous.
The stuff that she left in you.
Yeah, if there is anything.
Yeah.
And you do it a couple times. Then I pause, and I can look at that scene again. And I can think about, okay, what would I do next time? And what I would do is acknowledge her expertise in the area. That would be one option. She really knows about this product that happens to have one item that I don't approve of, but hey, she really has some expertise and she has some pride there. So acknowledge that and then maybe
so
ask.
Acknowledging the person
rather
instead
than
of taking on their. Because when you judge them, you're taking on the energy, you're leaving that energy, you're.
You know what? when you judge them, you're bonding.
Right.
There's no stickier glue to somebody or to an experience than judging
That's
it.
Why our families are so, they last to be recapitulated. You
well,
know,
our families, our families are a huge gift in that way
yes.
because they teach us a lot. There's no escape. You can't just, you can't just judge and then walk off.
But you know,
Florindosa
talked about recapitulating at the end of every day. You review
Absolutely.
Your day and
yeah.
say, okay, where did I fall into, where did I judge? And you just breathe them out and in. And
you can also practice. For example, I could practice, and Carol Teagues would say, talk to your chair.
Uh-huh.
Just practice. Say it out loud. What do I want to say to this person tomorrow when I see them
mm-hmm.
again?
Mm-hmm.
Or just practice. What would I say differently the next time? And play it out. You know, stand up. Okay, I'm going to breathe. And I'm going to say, oh, you know, that's really great. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really concerned about this element. What do you think?
Well, talk
you know?
About the Theater of Infinity, which is mm-hmm. what Carol Teagues, you know, the associate of Castaneda, the Nagua woman. Does
mm-hmm.
she still call herself the Nagua woman?
She doesn't.
Oh, well.
Because she's like, Nawal refers to that mystery
uh-huh.
of the energy body. The
yeah.
the world that we, you know, the seers talk about the known, the unknown,
and the,
and the unknowable. And then the wall is taking us toward the edge of what can be known.
Mm.
And it goes into that realm of the unknowable. So there's a lot of respect. Mm. And the term Nawal would mean somebody who naturally has a natural connection with the energy
uh-huh.
body, and then who has taken on the shamanistic training. Mm-hmm. And
you
the
know how I define the unknown, the mm-hmm. known and the unknowable?
How?
Is the known is what's past, the unknown is future, and the unknowable what's present.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, that's how I
interesting.
Understood that.
Well, there's some elements.
Because it is unknowable, the present.
There's definitely unknowable elements of the
but
present. And there's things that I think we know and things we don't know in the present.
But if you're really present, we don't know anything, I think.
I agree with you.
But
if we're really present, we also know in the past there's mm-hmm. stuff that was unknowable in the past. Because
yeah.
a lot of times we want to explain what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also, this theater that you're asking about,
yeah.
you can, and this is what we do in our workshops now and our online classes sometimes, is that you get into, okay, I would then go, after I did what I just did with that scene with mm-hmm. the woman in the store, then I would practice with a friend, a witness, and I would let them play my part, and I would tell them how to hold my body and my breath and what to say, and
oh.
I would play the woman in the store.
And what would that do? Would you
that would give
roles?
Me, first of all, empathy.
Ah.
Feeling. We go back to the feeling again, right?
Right. For that person. Well, she's just trying to do her job and tell you about
it. And she's actually doing it quite well. She's mm. taking a lot of pride in it. She mm. just has a different point of view.
But by doing that, what does that do for you?
It gives me another perspective.
And
I get out of the solidity and the rigidity of me,
of your
me as the only thing, right? There's other, there's way more than that.
There's way more than me.
Yeah, we need, this is a vehicle. We're not trying to get rid of mm-hmm. being aware of ourselves, but this excessive, you know, Carlos would talk about excessive self-reflection. What about me? It's all about me. That her talking that way is about me. Well, no,
enough
really.
About me. What do you think of me? You know that joke?
That's it. So it gives you, uh-huh. you know, and the theater started with Magical Past series where you would step into the awareness of a butterfly. You do the butterfly form, or you do the whale, or you practice the wolf.
Uh-huh.
That gives you, for a moment, you get a glimpse of another awareness. It's a shift of the assemblage point of our mm-hmm. orientation
mm-hmm.
to reality. And then you can come back. Then, okay, then I can be a little more, I have more context for being in this human interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives us context. And so that theater evolved into, okay, we can glimpse other life forms, why don't we glimpse the perspective of another human?
But you also get into it, I think, in this Theater of the Infinity, which you'll be doing all over the country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like you're traveling and doing this.
Yeah.
You get into what do you want in your life, and how do you, isn't there something about
absolutely.
That?
Yeah,
talk
absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. What do you want? What do you feel like your purpose is?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we come back to feeling. It's that intelligent
yeah.
feeler in us. What do you want to dream? Somebody wants to dream a project, like you're producing a show.
Right.
You want to produce a show with Deepak Chopra, which I saw that you did.
I have done that.
Yeah.
I've already dreamt that. That's
pretty awesome. So going forward, you want to produce a show with...
Sting.
With Sting. Okay. So then Theater of Infinity, I'm going to look at mapping out the terrain. Okay, what do I want? What does it look like? And you might have images around you, mm-hmm. or stones that mm-hmm. represent, yeah. you know, this is Sting, and then this is me talking to it. You can do those things.
Right.
But you look at, what is my intent? What's the purpose of it? Check in, get quiet, and then play out scenarios. And your imagination will tell you as you go about your day thinking about Sting, you might hit something that says, oh, that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But
let me try something that's even bigger than
you play
that.
Out the interview with Sting. You could play
right,
it out.
Right, I could play that out. Yeah. But I want something bigger than that. I mean, that's great.
Okay.
But, you know, this book that I'm writing, I would like it to be like a number one bestseller.
Okay. And so what is the intent of the book?
Right.
Who's it going to reach?
Right.
You can connect with those people on an energetic level before you ever meet them.
So
and
I
then
play
you can
out
meet
that
them
role.
Also. You can play out the role. You imagine yourself, or you can sit at your desk.
Yeah.
You know, what is a number one bestseller? How would you play that? Then you could be giving your thank you speech for
so
the
I
award.
Act out as if it's already happened.
You can definitely do
my
that.
My Pulitzer Prize winning
speech.
You
can do that.
Yeah.
And for me, if you connect with the purpose of it,
mm-hmm.
things align. Your energy body really will come to you.
The purpose
with
of
there's
why.
Purpose of
not
it.
That I just want to do that
yeah,
for no.
Yeah, because if it's all ego.
Yeah, yeah,
and
no.
I,
but if I want to yeah. do it for a bigger reason, like I want this book to affect people and
now
change
your energy
their
body is right in there with you going, we
did
like
did you just
this.
Feel that?
I did.
You did. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, no, so, that's the reason. It's like, you know,
yeah.
because
and, yeah.
I think there's something important that could shift people in this book that I'm writing. And so by aligning my energy body to my purpose, what happens then to the future?
Well, the future starts becoming the present. It's
oh.
We are meant to dream. We're meant to have these experiences. We're meant to really.
We're meant to dream. I like that. Mm-hmm. No one. I mean, that's why we're here.
Dreaming meaning that you can see a possibility. Something comes into you. It might have been your idea, or it might be something you're just receiving, you know, from the sea of awareness that. Mm. Carlos, this is awareness is an environment, and you pick up on this possibility, and then the difference between picking up on it versus doing it, not versus, but the next part of dreaming would be to carry it out. Okay, what's the next step? Mm. And you'll get a flash on something, or you go ask somebody who's done that,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be something that they tell you to do that really resonates,
mm-hmm.
or something they tell you to do that you're like, oh, God, that's really hard for
yeah.
Then you want to clear out what's the obstacle there.
Uh-huh.
That's where you can play the theater again, recapitulate.
Uh-huh.
You can also recapitulate all the moments where you really did do something that reminds you. Here I have this direct channel with the energy body. It reminds your being
but
that
I've
done this before.
I could also play out the future, like accepting the award. Or seeing,
you could.
And like, you know, having you're playing the part of, let's say, the committee that's giving me an award for
absolutely.
A best-selling book, and I have you prepare a little speech, and then you say that. So as I reenact a sort of fantasy future, how does that start to shift me as opposed to just being a fantasy?
Well, it's first of all, you've set the intention.
Uh-huh.
And so now that's what we are. We have this ability to intend endless things.
Endless things.
Really, there's no limit. There is, you know, we're in the human form.
There's no limit to
there
what
is
we
the
can
unknowable.
Dream, though.
Yeah, there is the unknowable. So
which
we have the humbleness. We have
no,
the humbleness.
No, yes.
There's things that are beyond our
mm-hmm.
scope.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many, many things that we haven't even tapped.
But
that
the
are
unknowable
not.
Is only unknowable until it is known. I mean,
would say different. There is an area humbly we can't touch.
We can, but we can get...
That's beyond us because, you know, there's a universe of intelligence out there. And
right. But we can get closer and closer to something,
we
can
get close. Well, yeah, but there's so much that's unknown right now. For me to be occupied with the unknowable, let's be busy with the unknown.
But everything is unknowable. I mean, in the sense that the universe
yeah.
is a mystery, and if it's...
It's a mystery, and so let's start learning. Unknown just means something you have never done before. So you practice.
But there's dreams I think we also have yet to dream instead of, I mean, yes, it's
that's
great
right.
to fulfill the dreams we have.
I agree with you
100%. And then we can make ourselves available to what has been yet to dream.
That's what the whole thing is. One, if you respond
yeah.
with that openness and you take this step, and you approach that dream, or you even realize mm-hmm. that dream, that opens up many more dreams.
Right.
And if you get a book that affects many people. Think of all those dreams that open.
Right.
We're dreamers. We create.
We
like
are
that.
All dreamers.
We create. Ultimately, Carlos would say, you know, there's worlds upon worlds.
Right.
One thing opens to another.
Right. You know, I do these workshops about creating new realities and things like that. So
That's what it is.
I'm planting the seeds of perception.
Yeah.
It's all about perception. Mm-hmm. Perception creates the reality. So I asked, did Newton discover gravity or did he invent it? You know, what's already here that we have yet to notice that we can then bring into this reality? So much is right here in
and
this space.
That's the wonder of it, because it never ends.
It never ends. Infinite.
It's infinite.
The unknown is infinite.
Yeah.
Forget about the unknowable.
Right. We got plenty to do.
Right. Just being present
in
our feeling body. So
you're
saying just be present and feel.
Present and feel.
And dream.
And dream meaning be open to what the openings are. Sometimes things might look impossible. Mm. All right, pause. And for me, ask infinity.
Right.
That's the description. Ask infinity. Or say to infinity, I'm here, I'm open, I want to see more. Something will flash in your mind. Somebody will call.
That's creativity.
Something
is that?
Will open.
Yeah.
It's all about creativity.
Yeah. You know, I think Joseph Campbell says, you know, if you are in that state, there'll be doors where you thought there were only walls.
That's it.
And so what's the point of it all? Why are you here? Not here, but why are you here in the body? Why are we all here? Why are we dreaming? Why?
Well, there's a few layers to that. The first thing is that we're here to learn. And the way Carlos would describe it actually does link to Theater of Infinity. He would say the Theater of Infinity is a theater that acknowledges that we're playing parts, that we are temporarily in this form. We come from infinity.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to return to infinity, and we are these bubbles of awareness, if you will, and we're taking a tour mm-hmm. of awareness, and we're learning. We're gathering
the experience,
and then that comes back to infinity, and that enhances the awareness of infinity. So beyond that, that's the nature of the intent, is that it's enhancing its awareness all through our experience.
Mm.
So as I'm looking at you, infinity's looking at you. As you're looking at me, infinity's looking at me, you know. And
right. And the more we drop away from the personality, the more infinity is coming through us.
Absolutely.
In that way.
Yeah.
The more less identified we are with the form, the personality, the persona, then that increases infinity more.
Well, if I'm less occupied with how do I look, how do I look, how do I look, I can notice, I can actually, for example, mm-hmm. be more present with you, and then I find out something that you've learned that's really interesting or something that you mm-hmm. like. I can notice there's a flock of mm-hmm. birds flying over mm-hmm. there that's
but
beautiful.
I guess I'm getting at what Don Juan says, that the ultimate journey or the mm-hmm. definitive journey mm-hmm. was to take this awareness with us into the next attention. You know,
mm-hmm.
to I guess enliven the energy body
mm-hmm.
so it becomes the life body and you burn from a fire from within. I mean, that's, you know, that's a big dream. But
well, and ultimately, it's about living with that. Where does my fire light up? You know, and we've recently had some workshops at something mm-hmm. we're exploring in classes, the fire from within. What is that? For example, when we were out here before we started to talk, you were telling me this beautiful thing about the meaning of alphabet.
Yes.
You know, the container of energy.
Yes.
Alpha, energy, bet, container.
Yes.
Which, and it was very moving to me. And so...
Because we're talking about women and men being different. But what...
That lights my fire. That's like awareness. That's awareness. Something gets lit up. Things get connected.
I guess it's silly to ask why.
If you love to play violin, that lights your fire.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because it's... There could be lots of different reasons. I was raised... I really love language. And, I was raised to be working with expression of language. And there's this beautiful... Does that come from... Bet is Hebrew, and Alpha is Greek.
No, they're both Hebrew.
Hebrew. So
they
here's this beautiful,
Greek. Yeah.
So here's this beautiful wisdom tradition that has these things that have congealed into words. The words mm-hmm. have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. The problem is if you've tried to just step away and let the words do everything and you're not connected anymore. But hey, you can see from those words, alphabet, we think that's just yeah. something we learned in kindergarten. Well, yeah, but alphabet, the container of energy, the leads us to the womb, the organ of...
And it leads us to perception life. Itself. You know?
Yeah.
Language leads us to perception.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So if I'm all caught in the argument I had with the taxi driver, which mm-hmm. we didn't have an argument with a taxi driver today, but...
I do all the time.
For example, I've had them before in the past, mm-hmm. but... if I'm all caught up with that, you might not have been able to convey that to me.
Right,
I would have missed that.
Right. I'm Alan Steinfeld with Nayi Ruiz and the Magical Passes and Clear Green. You can go find out all about this at the Clear Green website, which is featuring the work of Carlos Castaneda. Thank you for watching. I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Check me out at newrealities.com.